I think that it would be nice to focus more on automated funding streams, especially with this beautiful technology that we have in front of us, that we can actually automate a lot of things.
Tell me a bit more about that. Like, what are some ideas that you have in mind?
Some ideas I have in mind are, but some of them are actually already there, but I think it's just a matter of connecting these solutions. I really like streams, so Drips and Superfluid. These are very cool initiatives that just kind of create micro funding streams every second and every minute. I think this is a beautiful way to visualize. Sorry?
How do they work? It's honestly, it's the first time I hear about Drips and microflow.
They have had a new version. I haven't updated my, let's say, knowledge about if they improved or changed anything on that. But what I remember from Superfluid is that you are creating, you're depositing a certain amount of funds into a contract, and this contract streams towards an address or a wallet based on a specific time frame. So a period, let's say I want to pay you $10,000 in the next 10 months. I deposit the $10,000 in that contract and then add you as a recipient, and then it streams, and then it kind of like calculates every second how much it has to send to you. And it streams to you every second until 10 months later, you have an accumulated amount of 10,000. So that is kind of how it works. But this is interesting to use, especially with wages and paying for grants as well. And I think you can also stop the stream midway and stuff. So it creates this more fluid, indeed, way of paying, and not just like very big chunks of money, and really kind of a more gradual way of paying workers, builders within the space. And I think these type of funding models are really nicer, because in the sense that you don't have to necessarily, let's say you're a project and you have to wait until in the next month for me to get my pay, to just pay something that is $100, which you could have gotten in 5 days or 2 days by a stream. So that's something that it can help with, gradually giving money. And then the builder can also gradually use that money instead of waiting for payday. Every day is payday. Yeah. That's basically it.
That's an interesting concept, though. Like, especially for certain types of projects and certain types of grants and funding could be really interesting.
So that's I like that. And then, of course, the versions before as well that are not necessarily like microfunding based, so like on every second, but just to have more consistent funding in the space. A lot of the time, I feel grants kind of run the space in the sense that everybody is just getting grant funding and living off of grant funding. And I think that can be dangerous in the sense that once the grant programs shut down or there's no funding left, then these projects are searching and scrambling for funds to survive. So it would be nice to kind of create a more consistent streams of funding based off of like most lucrative sectors of the space, which are like DeFi, and then use that to channel towards the builders that are actually building the space, and not just the speculators that are just making profits off of their own money. So that's kind of how I would like to kind of push towards that narrative a lot, with more socially driven financial tooling, and call it like that, and give builders more rights as well. Like, a lot of the time we come in here, we put our sweat and tears and times into it and effort into building something nice. And then we get rugged by the very grand system we're part of. In the sense that we build something and then they just go with it.
But because also, like, when it comes to the grants, and as you said, that I absolutely agree, it can be risky if a project just relies on grants. Actually, super risky. But what are some other ways that maybe, even because, let's say, a project is eligible, comes to your cohort, they get approved, but there's definitely other ways that during that 12-month period, they can get that additional streams of funding or crowdfunding or something like that. Would love to hear if you've seen any examples that have done this efficiently, or if you have tried anything else as well.
First of all, I think projects should not be scrambling within 12 months for funding somewhere else. I think that should just, like, the grant program should just fund your builders. Whether it's retrofunding or not, just kind of give them something, because living costs money and builders have to live too. That's my first take. And then the second, I think it like what we did as well is like we did apply for Gitcoin rounds and other type of funding mechanisms around public goods funding programs. But a lot of we had our own funds as well. We also had a treasury that could like help us, but we applied for Gitcoin as well, so we got some extra funding there. But I think that should be the exception and not the rule. So, yeah.
Understandable. No, that makes perfect sense though, because in the end, it's like even during those first 12 months, a lot of builders, especially if it's a new project, you're still just figuring out
Yeah, exactly. And
like what is happening, what is going on.
the other thing is that we're getting paid in OP tokens, and that's it's at the moment it's a speculative asset. It's not like a stable income, or it's not a stable currency in that sense. It's kind of like stock options or something. So what we have, for example, budgeted a year ago is now worth way less, about like 60 to 80% less than what it is today when we receive it. So it's even more a harder punch into the gut. Just you have to wait, and then you wait, and then you get less than what you actually were planning to fund with your work with. So it's definitely not the best system.
Do you think like it? How do you think it's gonna be made better or like completely flipped upside down? Like if you were to like look at it and change some things, like what would you do?
I think certain parts can be milestone-based funding, so that you're actually doing the work, and it's a less longer period that you have to wait if they really want to focus on retro funding. So you have to do the work and then get paid. I think that's the first one. And another chunk is kind of like a bigger reward after the 12-month period. So I don't know, 60% is for the 12-month lockup, and the other 40% is actually to fund your jumpstart and fund your start for the first 4 months or 5 months of you building.
But cohort six, if I'm not wrong, was like that.
Sorry?
Cohort six, season six was something similar
Yeah,
like
they had a
that.
funding program, but that was not the builders program. That was I
No, it
think
wasn't the builders
it
program.
was a
It was a
marketing,
bit different.
it was actually an incentive program that they set up where 40% of the OP tokens are released at the start. And then but those OP tokens are only allowed to incentivize your users, so you're not allowed to fund yourself with it.
I haven't
That
seen
was
that.
kind
So
of the
they're like for essentially it's like you're gonna you can use them as to incentivize mints, to incentivize people to come in
Correct.
and use your app. Okay. So
If
it's
it,
more like a marketing budget, which is not bad,
well,
honestly, if like a
correct.
builder gets that.
Yeah, correct. So they would get that to distribute to their users through all kinds of incentive mechanisms. But then the other 60% is also released and also only dedicated towards incentivizing your users. So it cannot be received as a payment. That's basically what they were trying to avoid when issuing these OP tokens, because I think that would create legal complications for them.
That's risky. Like on one side, I do get the perspective because it can just create a lot of scamming, which we've seen quite a bit. But on the other side, the most, at least from my assumption and like from what I've noticed, is usually the builders that really care about building. Oftentimes, like it sometimes happens that they don't really have the funds to fund themselves during the entire journey. But now, because of these limitations, even though they're super dedicated, they're kind of locked. So what happens to all those builders, especially builders that are coming from like South America or Southeast Asia? There's so many that would love to do something, but because of this 12-month lockup or because of how grants are structured, they just cannot.
Correct. And I think a solution for that could also be like a loan based, so that these tokens are kind of collateralized for a specific percentage of loan. And then that loan funds the builders. In that sense, you're not necessarily, I guess, giving the OP tokens to the builders as payments, but you're kind of giving them a little loan. But this is the hardship that a lot of the builders face. This is really the hardship that a lot of builders face. Prepping a whole grant, submitting it, you're requesting a certain amount of OP tokens on this date, and then 12 m months later, you will get this amount of OP tokens. But then you have to hope that the market didn't go down, that we're not in a bear market. Besides that, maybe at the end of the are at the finish line, they decide, hey, this is not really what what we expected for you to build, and we cannot give you the full grant. So that's also something that happened a couple of times with some projects.
That's bad.
Yeah,
it's
it's really bad.
Bad.
It really gives optimism an immense amount of power. And it is also a farming for labor. I mean, in essence, you're kind of farming for labor for free until you deem it worthy and then you pay. And that's a bit of a dystopian angle.
But when you put it in those words, it is sort of like that. But also the other thing that while you were speaking came to mind is like, why, like, just as how grants are currently structured, at least most of them, and if the builder, like some projects just naturally, most projects in fact, like naturally require a bit more time to actually build something that's lasting.
Yeah.
But like, because of how short-term focused is, and depending on how much funds the builder has in the first place, at least I see like a lot more incentivization goes to short-term projects, practically just get stuff out there and build stuff, rather than build some stuff that will last.
Correct. I do think that it needs to be like in the middle, of course, you know, like buildings, you do have to like build something like an MVP or something quick to show.
You have to experiment eventually.
Yeah, you have to experiment a lot.
At that point, yes.
I think there is definitely a lot of funding that kind of goes into the experimentation, and there's not really a bit of a really long-term return on that type of funding. And the other thing is as well that, yeah, I think that building but you have to have like a plan. So after your experimentation, how to like long-term further build this out and really like be a project or a solution that will last throughout the times and that doesn't just last one funding cycle. And then actually, yeah, we built something that nobody really wanted and we want more funding so we can continue building something that nobody really wants.
Oh, well, it's actually the case for a lot of things happening in the blockchain.
No, that's the thing. And I think it's also because grant councils and funding committees have not a very strong... That's where I think Optimism did very well with its intent and visions and stuff. But a lot of other grant councils don't really have a strong vision of really their ecosystem, where it needs to go, what is really needed at a certain time. So that kind of creates these, let's say, grifters, projects that are grifters that come through and say, hey, we're going to build this great thing for you. And then really no market research, no understanding of users, and then just get funding because it sounds good. And then they build it and nobody uses it. And then they come again to request a second round of funding to continue building something that's really not really.
But the second round, you even have the authority. I already built this first thing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, look, we did it. Now fund us again. You know, like that's how it kind of goes when the metrics are not there, which I think I do have to applaud Optimism on the sense that they're starting to use way more on-chain metrics. But it is still a limitation in the sense that it's not measuring all the type of work and type of value that is created by builders and protocols. So the on-chain metrics, I think recently in season 6 and 7, they really started to use them, especially for retro funding around. So they kind of wanted to automate that based off of an application's usage. So you have to think about like the amount of transactions your application does, the amount of interactions your contracts do. And they have a bunch of various on-chain metrics that they look at. And they see this as like every transaction is a fee that is being paid and that is contributing towards the Optimism Superchain's revenue model. And that should be rewarded. So the more transactions you do, the more you interact on-chain, the more you will be rewarded by the retro funding rounds that happen every month, I think. So this is a way that Optimism starts to really focus on real on-chain usage. But the question is always, are they actual real users? Are they actual real valuable transactions? Or is it just somebody trying to arbitrage back and forth between the token? Or is it some wild bot going at it on-chain? That's really, maybe they're trying to do it with attestations and stuff, but I mean, it doesn't matter, right? If it's a real user or a bot, it's still transactions, it's still fees, and it's still revenues. Yeah. For them, it doesn't matter. They'll get rewarded.
Understandable. The other thing that I see over there is like, okay, you have the focus, like Optimism, for example, focuses on the on-chain actions. which essentially are transactions. But what happens with literally the 99% of everything else that needs to bridge the real users to the on-chain world in the first place, which cannot be, it's honestly much harder to track with either traditional or on-chain because it's essentially building that bridge. But like, what happens with that? Like, why aren't many people talking about that or considering that? Because just on-chain is just on-chain. Just traditional is just traditional. So what's there?
Yeah, I think that's also a big reason where I think the metrics-based funding kind of falls short. The on-chain metrics-based funding falls short because indeed there is work that happens off-chain to get people on-chain to begin with. And that's not really, there's no really a funding avenue anymore in Optimism that really dedicates a certain amount of funding for this. Either they're just on their high horse in the sense like, hey, we have enough fun, we have enough members and users right now, we don't need any more. Or they're just, our shareholders, our investors are breathing down their neck really and saying, hey, you guys promised us revenue, so start building, giving us revenue. Like we have to talk about that as well, right? It is a VC funded project, and there are people that want a return on their investment, or with token price going up, or at least their funding model and revenue model really taking hold to fund the costs of the organization, OP Labs and such. So I think
That's a
that's really where they're kind of like walking on a line between like, hey, we have this community that needs funding, but at the other side, we have all these investors that really want to see this project become a revenue generating company, despite it being a very collectivizing type of like marketing plot that they have as their image.
quite conflicting when you see it that
Yeah,
way.
yeah.
You can even see
The space is full of contradictions, that's for sure.
But the thing is, in the end, it still will meet in the middle because to build something like the size of Optimism in the time period it was built,
Yeah. You need an immense amount of capital for sure.
exactly. You need capital, and that capital usually comes with dice. It's just about
Yeah.
what are the right ways to navigate it without compromising the
All
vision.
right. Yeah, so that, but I think it's good to include those or consider those yeah, how can I say this, like complexities, I would say, of Optimism, that hey, they're like balancing these two wants of both sides, and one side they do want to give funding out, but they don't want to get any legal complications. The other side, they do also want to like generate like these revenue and these promises that they gave to probably these investors based on their revenue model of 15% of the fees of all the super chains that go towards Optimism Collective to then fund again this, like, I think it's like a funding flywheel that they described it as, where every
That's
chain
it.
tributes 15% of their fees, transaction fees, towards the Optimism Collective for being part of the super chain. I don't want to go too deep in that because, yeah, there's a lot of critique as well there. And some people also have said that this is, can easily be gamed, and also these chains can eventually like break off and go with all the users, such as Base, and put their own fee model, and yeah, becomes a competition between each other that they
Although,
collaborate.
from one perspective, I would say so, but the other side is like if we look at Optimism and if we look at Base, it's two completely different focuses. And then we have Farcaster in the middle, which is kind of the unifying layer, especially I would say for Base. It's a layer upon layer upon layer.
Definitely. I guess the question is really like, once these protocols generate a lot of fees, then it's about like large sums of money. I think 15% becomes a very bigger chunk, and then the chains will be a bit more wary of giving out this money to the collective
But
when they could use it for their own funding.
I actually think even now probably Base contributes just as much as Optimism, and
Yeah, I
Optimism
think even
goes like
more.
100%, and Base
Yeah.
is like 15%.
Correct, correct. So that's where it becomes a, yeah, politics starts to, there will be a friction of interest, I think, in the long run, when these funding fee models become immense, and they can indeed say, hey, we're the ones contributing the most, and why are we paying so high? Like, guys are not paying a lot collective. So, I mean, these are political things that happen in the real world as well. If you can see, for example, with the
Exactly.
US and NATO and such like that. So I don't think the chains are gonna be any this. So.
Who knows? It's a bit different vibe in
Yeah.
the super chain. So let's see.
Let's see. Let's see. I hope for the best. But we always prepare for the worst.
Ruben, it was a pleasure actually having this conversation with you. Is there anything you'd like to share that maybe we haven't touched on, or actually the final message that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I'm happy that I'm here, and I'm really excited for people to explore obdollar.xyz. Reach out if you have any ideas. Also, if I reach out on the forum, you can also find us on the forum or on the Discord of Optimism. Join in. Yeah, let me know what if you have any ideas for funding, and I hope that more people are thinking about solidarity ways of funding each other. So yeah, the only way to kind of get out of this is together. So yeah, let's pool our money together and fund each other if our grant programs can do it.
There you go. And in the description, there also will be the links to so you can contact Ruben. And thank you for tuning into this episode. Ruben, thank you as well. And until next time.
Thank you. Of course. Thank you so much, Chris.